Good morning. Just in case you're interested, I mean, some of you know, but all that song and the one last week are on Spotify. If you just search my name, it should come up. If you search someone else's name, it won't come up. So, you know, I can't help you with that. But but in this passage today, called Still Learning, Still Sent. We're still in the series, Follow Me, and I Will Make You Fishers, A Journey Through the Gospel of Luke. We're in Luke chapter 9, verses 46 through 62. Have you ever felt like you're not ready? We sang Ready to Walk earlier, you know? You felt like you're not ready to lead? I hear that all the time. I'm not a leader. I'm like, are you a believer? Yeah, then by default, you're a leader. Or I'm not ready to speak up and tell people about Jesus. Or I'm not ready to step out in my faith. You still feel like you have to figure it out. You know, I got to figure it out. I got to grow more. I got to have more clarity. I got to have more confidence. So you say to yourself, give it time. I'll get there eventually. When you say yes to Jesus, you are already ready. When you say yes to Jesus, you don't wait. You go. Because what if that mindset that you have is holding you back? Because when you come to Luke chapter 9, you don't find polished disciples. You don't find spiritually mature leaders. Here's what you find, and we're going to talk about the whole, we're going to go back before the verse that Pastor Sam read. Here's what you find in that passage. You find two disciples arguing about who's the greatest. You find two disciples, or you find disciples reacting emotionally and getting corrected by Jesus. You find people who say they want to follow Jesus, but they have every excuse in the book. In other words, you find people who are still learning. And yet Jesus doesn't stop and say, oh yeah, go back to class. You know, you got a lot more learning to do. No. He doesn't pause and say, let's pause the mission. You know, he doesn't say, hey, come back when you're ready. No, he just keeps moving and they keep following. He keeps calling. He keeps forming them. Get this, while they follow him. He's forming them while they follow him. That's the tension of discipleship. You're not finished, but you're still called. You're still growing, but you're still sent. And the question for us today is not, am I ready? The question is, am I willing to follow Jesus as he forms me along the way? Today we're going to see three things Jesus shapes in every follower: a heart of humility, a life with clear direction, and a commitment with no conditions. Because you don't have to have it all together to follow Jesus. Get this, but you do have to be all in. Here's the big idea. Jesus sends people who are still being formed, but he calls them to grow in humility, clarity, and full commitment. And here's the disciple-making focus for this passage. Growth and mission happen simultaneously. So the first thing we learn in verses 46 through 48 is following Jesus requires humility. Here's what's happening in Luke 9:46. An argument started among the disciples as to which of them would be the greatest. Let that sink in. Now, in context, they just witnessed Jesus' power. They just witnessed Jesus' glory on the Mount of Transfiguration. And they just witnessed Jesus' authority casting out a demon. And now they're arguing about themselves. Now, the Gospel of Mark gives us even more insight into what's going on. the two disciples that are arguing, or the two disciples that are asking who's the greatest, are James and John. They're brothers. They come to Jesus and say this, "Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask." Now, come on. That's bold. Arrogant. That's us sometimes. And Jesus turns to him and asks, "What do you want me to do for you?" in Mark chapter 10. And what do they want? They want a seat of prominence. This is what they say, "Let one of us sit at your right hand and the other at your left in your glory." In other words, Jesus, when you come into your kingdom, make sure we're at the top. Now, the other disciples, they hear this and they're furious. Now, I don't know if they're furious because they're more humble, or they're furious they should have asked first. And then something powerful happens. Right in the middle of all this pride and positioning in Mark chapter 10, a blind man cries out and says, "Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me." And Jesus turns and he asks the same exact question he asked James and John, "What do you want me to do for you?" And James and John, they said, "Give us glory." You know what the blind man says? "Give me mercy. Give me mercy. I want to see." And his eyes were opened. Don't miss this. In one moment, the disciples get a living picture of the difference between pride and humility. Because pride says, "Elevate me." Humility says, "Have mercy on me." Back to Luke. Jesus responds to their argument by bringing a child forward. And he says, "Whoever welcomes this little child in my name welcomes me." In that culture, a child had no status, no power, no influence. And Jesus flips everything upside down, because what he's saying is greatness in the kingdom of God is not about prominence. It's about humility. What this means for us is you can follow Jesus and still be driven by ego, comparison, and recognition. And I can tell you, I struggle with all those. But in the end, I hope, my desire, and my hope is I put aside my own ego so that God can shine through me. You know what's interesting? In Greek, the word for "I am" is ego, ego. So either we have to say Jesus is the "I am," or we're going to stick to us saying ego, "I am." See, all those things that get in the way of following Jesus, they sabotage your calling. Because disciple making is not about building your name. It's about lowering yourself so others can be lifted. Here's the key truth. You cannot follow Jesus closely while holding on to pride. Because following Jesus requires humility. Secondly, following Jesus requires a set direction. When Jesus' day on earth were coming to a close, Luke 9:51 says, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Think about that. He knew exactly what was waiting for him there. What was waiting for him? The cross, rejection, suffering. And still, he set his face toward Jerusalem. He didn't hesitate. He didn't waver. He didn't look back. Jesus becomes resolute. No distractions, no detours, no divided focus. He knows the cost, and he moves forward anyway. Now contrast that with the disciples. They're arguing about who's greater. In verse 54, they're reacting emotionally to the bad Samaritans, and they actually turn to Jesus and say, Lord, do you want us to call down fire from heaven on those bad Samaritans? In other words, can we just singe them out of the picture? They're still trying to figure it all out. They're inconsistent. Do you feel ever inconsistent with your faith? But Jesus is not. He's clear. So what does this mean for us? Following Jesus requires a settled direction, not I'll follow you when it's convenient, and not I'll follow you when it makes sense. Instead, my life is moving toward Jesus no matter what. Because here's the reality. You don't drift towards discipleship. You decide. Here's the key truth. Spiritual growth begins when your direction is settled, not when your life is settled. I hear this, I'll give my life to Jesus when my life is better. You know, or I'll serve the Lord, you know, when I'm older, you know, or whatever it is. They're all excuses. Spiritual growth begins when your direction is settled, not when your life is settled. And the third thing we learn is that following Jesus requires full commitment, not excuses. So here we are in this passage that Pastor Sam read. Luke gives us three interactions. Three people who say they want to follow Jesus, but they hesitate. And they're different people. So number one is he's a comfortable but unaware of the cost person. He's comfortable but unaware of the cost of following. So he says to Jesus, read it with me, I will follow you wherever you go. And that sounds like strong faith. Bold, confident, committed. But Jesus sees deeper and he says, foxes have dens, birds have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. In other words, he's saying, are you sure that you know what you're committing to? Because if you follow me, it's going to cost everything, your house, your bird of nest, your bed, your money, your life. We just saw last week that Jesus said, deny yourself and take up your cross daily. That means that you're dying to yourself, you're letting go of control, you're surrendering your comfort. Because here's the thing, you can't follow Jesus, get this, you can't follow Jesus and still be in the lead. That doesn't even make sense. Jesus had no home, no money, no bed, and he calls us to follow him. Now, let's be clear. This doesn't mean you have to be poor or own nothing, but it does mean, get this, nothing owns you. Everything is surrendered. Your time, your resources, your comfort, your plans. So the question is, are you following Jesus or are you trying to bring your fox den with you? That's the first person. The second person we find in this passage is someone who is of delayed obedience. Delayed obedience. So Jesus turns to another man. He says, follow me. And the guy responds by saying, Lord, first let me go bury my father. Now on the surface, that sounds reasonable. Honorable, even. Because in that culture, every culture, I think, burying your father is one of the highest family obligations you could have. So that wasn't a small ask. Let me bury my father. But what's Jesus do? He makes something clear. He says, nothing comes before following me. And he responds by saying, let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God. And that sounds kind of harsh. Like, what happened to nice Jesus? But until you understand what's happening, you don't know the whole picture, because this is not just about a funeral. It's about priority. Because the guy's saying, I'll follow you, but not yet. I'll follow you later, because here's the thing, there's no evidence. We don't know if the father had actually died. We don't know. He may have just been given an excuse. Hey, Jesus, I'll follow you later when it's convenient. First, I got to go bury my father in 30 years, whatever it is. But Jesus makes it clear the call to follow him is not something you schedule your life around. It becomes your life. Disciples of Jesus are about life. That's why Jesus says, let the dead bury their own dead. You go and proclaim life. You go tell them about the kingdom of God. Disciples of Jesus are about life, not death. So here's the truth. This is important. Delayed obedience is not obedience. And I hope that penetrates, because if you know what you're supposed to do or not do, and you do or not, you don't do that, that is not obedience. Delayed obedience is not obedience. There's a difference between surrender and obedience. Surrender could be like last week. We sang, Lord, I surrender all. Lord, I open my heart, I surrender. I my heart is to surrender. Lord, you know my heart, I want to surrender. But I'm not going to do what you're telling me to do. So I'm going to surrender my heart, but I ain't pulling the trigger yet. So let me go bury my father. Let me go bury my stuff. Delayed obedience is not obedience. If you have kids and you tell your kid, go make your bed or clean your room, and the kid goes on for a week with every excuse in the book, what will you do? Are you just going to let your kid be disobedient? We see kids like that, and then we see what happens to them when they grow up. Now, the difference is, as human parents, we fail, we falter, we sin. As God, as our Father, he is so incredibly gracious and merciful. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever delayed obedience to God? And you're still alive. Huh? Still here. Praise God, that's called grace. But don't take advantage of grace. Quit taking advantage of grace. If it's time to pull the trigger, pull the trigger. Do it. That's obedience. The third person we run into is a person of divided loyalty. Another guy says, I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family. And again, sounds reasonable. But what's underneath? A divided heart. Because nothing can be above Jesus when you say you follow him. Not even your family. Not your kids. When you stand before Jesus and he says, why didn't you follow me? To that when I told you to follow me to do that or whatever. Oh, well, you have to understand, Jesus, I love my kids, or I love my wife, and I was trying to put them above myself. Hey, hold on a second. Nothing comes above me. Nothing. Nada. So, what's underneath that is a divided heart. Is it hard to follow Jesus? Heck yeah. Isn't that supposed to be easy? You know, people, when they get saved, oh, Jesus changed my life. And, you know, thank God, yes. Now the hard work starts. But remember that you're following someone who loves you more than your family, who loves you more than anybody, who wants what's best for you, who's leading you into eternity. So when you decide to follow Jesus, you follow him into eternity. I look forward to the day I see Jesus face to face. And he's going to say, remember that time? I go, no, he's not going to say that. He's not going to say that. I say that. I said, Lord, I'm sorry about that time. Yeah, because I am sorry about that time. And I should be sorry about that time. But Jesus is not going to condemn you. But if you decide to take the wrong, the way that you want to go, and Jesus is over there, and like 30 years later, you're like, oh man, I should have just followed Jesus. Heck yeah. I run into people all the time. You know, I gave my life to Jesus and everything was good. And then I kind of wanted to do my own thing. You know, like the prodigal son who went off and ended up eating pig slop, had to learn his lesson, comes home. Was his father condemning him? No, he was waiting for him with love in his heart to give him the biggest hug and the biggest barbecue dinner you will ever have. That's our Father. This is not a message about beating yourself up. This is a message of reminding us that no excuse should ever come above following Jesus. So a divided heart can be over anything. But look what Jesus says. Read it with me. No one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God. In that culture, plowing, and in any culture, plowing requires full attention, because if you look back, the line goes crooked. And if you look back, you're going to crash. You know, if you keep driving, and if you keep looking in the rearview mirror, although I wrote a really nice song called Rearview Mirror, little plug, but if you keep looking in the rearview mirror, you're going to crash in front of you. Look forward. Stay forward. Jesus is saying this: you can't move forward with me while your heart is still looking backwards. That's what Jesus is saying. So what's the real issue? It's not ability, it's priority. It's comfort over calling, it's delay over obedience, it's attachment over surrender. Why does that matter? Most people don't outright reject Jesus. They just delay him, they condition their obedience, or they add these two words, but first, let me do this. But first, let me have this. But first. So here's the key truth. Partial commitment will always hold back full obedience. Now, here's what we've seen today. The disciples are still learning. I mean, we have James and John. I mean, John wrote a lot of the New Testament, dude. And here he is following Jesus, telling Jesus, like, hey, who's the greatest, man? You know, they're still struggling. Their disciples are still having a hard time. They're like, they don't have clarity. Like, what is Jesus talking about? And then we see these disciples in this passage are these people, they're not, we don't know if they're hesitating. They're like, okay, let me first do this, Jesus, let me do this. And yet, Jesus keeps calling them forward. He just says, follow me, follow me, follow me. It was probably about a year ago this time, and I was praying for my life and the direction of my ministry and this church, and God opened up a person who introduced me to a person who asked me to join a discipleship training process called Ignite. And I remember watching the videos to decide if I was going to do it. And I felt in my spirit, man, this is what I'm supposed to be doing. I forgot. I forgot that I'm supposed to be making disciples. Jesus's way. The guy who heads up the whole network, it's a worldwide network, literally on a Zoom call, he didn't say these words, but it was as Jesus was saying, follow me. And I followed him. And because of that, this last year, I have seen more salvations in my personal walk with the Lord than I've seen for the past 20 years. I've seen people like Jalen and Chris and others who are stepping up to make disciples, who make disciples, who make disciples. But it's because I heard the voice, follow me. You know, that oftentimes we get confused. Like, oh, that's just my pastor's asking me to do that. Or that's just my pastor speaking. Maybe it is and maybe it's not. Maybe it's not. If the Holy Spirit speaks to you and you just say, that's my pastor speaking, woe to you. Guess what? God speaks through people. And if he's saying, follow me, or do this, or don't do that, or watch out, or you better do it. I'm not going to follow you around. I don't have Ring cameras in your house. Okay? But if the voice of God speaks to you through somebody, like I heard clearly, follow me and make disciples, would God condemn me? No. Would I miss out on an incredible journey that I've had this last year? Yes. That's the difference. That's the difference. Jesus is calling you forward. And here's the thing. Don't use the excuse, I don't have it all together. Because I don't have it all together, but he still calls you and me to be all in. Say that. All in, not half in. All in. The greatest teams in history are because every player is all in. The greatest movements in history is because every team member or every person is all in. So the question is today is not, am I ready? The question is, am I fully surrendered? Where is Jesus putting his finger on your life right now? Is it pride? Is it lack of direction? Or is it those two words, but first? But first. Because you can't follow Jesus halfway, you can't follow Jesus conditionally, and you can't follow Jesus while holding something back. I want to tell you, Jesus is not looking for perfect people. Hallelujah. Jesus is looking for surrendered people who will pull the trigger. People who will say, Jesus, I'm still learning, but I ain't holding back. I'm all yours. Because you don't have to be fully formed to follow Jesus, but you do have to be fully committed. Let's pray. Lord, thank you that there's no condemnation in Jesus Christ. there's grace and truth. So, Lord, when there's grace and truth, there needs to be action. So whatever you're telling us to do or not do, or what to say, or to be a disciple maker, whatever it is, Lord, we surrender and we pull the trigger, because delayed obedience is not obedience. Lord, please give us the wisdom to know the truth and to do what's right. In Jesus' name, amen.